Great. Well, did you know that today is Mother's Day? Mothers, this is your day. It's a special day, and you deserve to be pampered, and you should be pampered. And so we have just a little treat for you. We have a card. Do you have the card? Is it there? It's coming. It's going to be here in just a moment. So meanwhile, I'll just kind of entertain you with my dance routine. It's on its way. We have a card for you though, and it's here. Just a minute. That's for you moms. Let's show our appreciation to our moms. Fact, we're not just going to stop there. We're going to, at the end of the service, there's available for you in the foyer a little bookmark, and there's a Hershey's kiss attached to it. And there's some for those of you who are mothers. You pick up yours. And there are those who are marked others, and those who are a mother example and a mother figure to those around them. And I know there's many of you who could pick up from the other table. So we want to acknowledge you today. I think back over my lifetime as I think of Mother's Day. I think back over my lifetime. It's not that long. Come on, let's be realistic. It's very short, all right? And I recall vividly making breakfast one Mother's Day for my mother. How many of you have ever done that? Said, yeah, okay, great. My brother had such a wonderful Tom Sawyer way of getting me to burn toast, crisp bacon, whipped eggs, and shell. Actually, wait a minute, maybe it was my brother who did all that stuff for me to take into my mom. I'm not sure, but maybe my age is shining through. I do remember though. The pots and the pans and the grills and the dish after dish that was used to make a wonderful Mother's Day breakfast. And I would carry this in, this amazing burnt offering, I would carry it in on to my mother on a bed tray, and I would place it before her. And without a doubt, she always had a tear in her eye. And I could never figure out that lonely tear in her eye. Until I walked later back into the kitchen and I saw her wiping her brow as she scrubbed pots and pans, dishes, grills, you name it, she was doing it. And I did the greatest thing that any loving son would do. I told her to take a rest, she could do them later. You know, that was me. Mothers are special people. Did you know that we would not be here today if it were not for our mothers? Just a thought. The mothers walk us through so much in life. They give comfort when we hurt. They are to be a place of refuge from the stuff of the world. That's a mother. And today we're remembering our mothers. Brilliant answers given by second grade school children to the following questions. Listen to these. Why did God make mothers? Number one, she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. That's so true in our home. And the nail clippers. And toenail clippers. Number two, to help us out of there when we were getting born. These are real answers. How did God make mothers? Number one, he used dirt, just like the rest of us. Number two, God made my mom just the same like he made me. He just used bigger parts. What ingredients are mothers made of? Number one, God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of mean. True, these are real answers. Number two, they have to get their start from men's bones. Then they mostly use string, I think. Why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? Number one, and I like this, we're related. Number two, God knew she likes me a lot more than other people's moms like me. Oh, isn't that a good, that's a good answer. What kind of little girl was your mom? Number one, my mom has always been my mom and none of that other stuff. Number two, I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess would be pretty bossy. Listen to number three. They say she used to be nice. What does your mom do in her spare time? Number one, mothers don't do spare time. Oh, isn't that true? Ooh. Number two, to hear her tell it, she pays bills all day long. If you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? Well, number one, she has this weird thing about me keeping my room clean. I'd get rid of that. Number two, I would like for her to get rid of those invisible eyes in the back of her head. And finally, what's the difference between moms and dads? Moms have magic that make you feel better without medicine. Wow. I want to talk about medicine this morning. Not only for mothers. I mean, when I preach on Mother's Day, Father's Day, or holidays like this, I preach to the body of Christ. And so this is for all of us, because I'm going to speak about joy. Marvelous joy. The Christian should be the model of what Christ called us to be full of, his joy. So let's jump into Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, and let's visit an area that mothers invest in each one of us in some way or another. Proverbs 17, verse 22. And if I see it going like this, or like this, or like this, it's because of all the mosquitoes. I got bit just in the front pew here. And I went like that. Yeah. So if you're going like that, don't worry if you're going like, now you're all going like that. Is there a mosquito around me? Proverbs 17:22, a verse which speaks to all of us, as it says. I like this passage. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Wow. Marvelous joy. Marvelous joy is good for the soul. See, I learned early in life that people love to laugh. I could never figure this out. I couldn't understand when people would say, "Oh, I haven't had a good laugh in such a long time. I needed that." You know, the kind of laugh where you laugh till tears are streaming down your face and you're going, "That is the best." You think the person's bawling, but they're laughing. Till I understood that often joy is rare. Joy is conspicuously absent from many homes, from many lives. I think of this big business tycoon. He met with me one day, he called me up, and he made this appointment. And I was only 20 actually at the time, and he was in his late 40s. And I mean, this guy was big business, and I thought, why is he calling me? You know? And so he met with me, and I couldn't believe what this man wanted to meet with me for. And I sat down, and then he asked me a question. He said, "Tell me something funny." So I looked at him, and I thought, okay, now I'm alarmed. Me. And he looked, and he started to laugh. He laughed so loud that tears were flowing down his cheeks. And he said, "Oh, I needed that." He says, "You will not believe it. I'm walking through such pain right now. My marriage is in turmoil. My kids, they don't even want me at home because I'm so miserable." And then he said, "I need help. I need to learn to laugh again. I need the joy back in my life." That moment taught me something. Well, laughter's good. It's real, deep joy that we need. And there's only one source that can give us that joy to carry us through. Because the events of life will always overcome us. In fact, Lily Tomlin said it so well when she said this. She said, "Things are going to get a lot worse before they get worse." How can you possibly be joyful when you're feeling exhausted? Where does your source of strength come from when you feel you've just had it? You want to pack it in. Some take Tylenol. Others Advil. Others take caffeine pills. But I found the greatest source to give us joy. You know what I'm talking about. It's God Himself, the author of joy. During those moments where I feel I cannot make it, those times where I wonder where I'm at, what's going to happen to me, I've had moments, my friends. One yesterday. You wouldn't know it, but, well, maybe you do. But I was sick with the flu all day yesterday. And up till like 10 o'clock last night, I began to wonder if I was going to be here, if Pastor Jeremy was going to skip garage sailing to make a sermon. I didn't. You know, I prayed to God. I said, "Lord, maybe it's the message you don't want me to give tomorrow. I don't know. But I hope I feel better. Besides, I don't like getting sick to my stomach." I've had moments, my friends, where I have wondered even what happened to God. Have you ever wondered what happened to God? Where God went? And then he knocks me aside the head and he says, "I'm right here. Read my word. Talk to me." He just waits. God wants nothing more than for you to have peace and joy, but only he can give it. The world can't give you the kind of joy God can. The world can't. While we search for it in worldly things, the world cannot give it. We search for peace, and the world tries to give us peace, and so they invented things to give us peace. Like, they say, okay, we're going to invent the computer. It's going to lessen time, so you'll have more time for yourself. We're going to invent the cell phone, and just think, it'll give you more time because you'll be able to do more things. And we're going to invent the pager, and all these things created to give us peace. I think the only peace we get these days are maybe in the washroom if we don't have a phone installed. But that quiet moment of solitude with God, now that's peace. That's quiet. And that's why the enemy doesn't want you to have it. That's how we discover marvelous joy. Last week we met at the table and we talked about attitude, and James, he spoke about the quiet and the listening, and that's how joy is discovered, through the moments of listening quietly before God, not talking, just sitting and listening to him. But often we listen and we don't hear very well. I know that's something that I'm working on. It's kind of like the man who asked his wife what she'd like for Mother's Day. She said, I'd love to be six again. On Mother's Day, he arose early. He got up, made her a nice big bowl of Lucky Charms, took her off to the local theme park. What a day they had. I mean, he put her on every ride in the park, the death slide, the wall of fear, the screaming monster roller coaster, everything there was, he put her on. 5 hours later, she staggered out of the theme park. Her head was reeling, her stomach felt upside down, and he took her to McDonald's. Her loving husband ordered her a Happy Meal. Extra fries, refreshing chocolate shake. And then it was off to a movie to see the latest blockbuster, a hot dog, popcorn, soda pop, her favorite candy, M&Ms. What a fabulous adventure for her. Finally, she wobbled home with her husband and collapsed into bed exhausted. He leaned over his precious wife with a big smile, and he lovingly asked, "Well, dear, what was it like being six again?" Her eyes slowly opened, and her expression suddenly changed. "You idiot. I meant my dress size." There is a moral to that story that even when a man is listening, he's going to get it wrong anyway. Hearing is so critical to our joy. There are so many passages that speak of that unexplainable, marvelous joy. Take a journey through your Bible, and maybe your Bible has this. Mine has this called a concordance, and it has a whole bunch of things in the back, like words, and you can look up the word joy, and you can read passages that speak of joy. And take a moment, spend there. Take a moment to spend with God. The soul needs that kind of joy that only Christ can give. Jesus said this to us in John 15. He said, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, Jesus said, and that your joy may be complete. Christ knows that we need joy. So does the devil. Satan knows we need joy. And so he will do everything to prevent us from having it. Everything. And that's what comes next. See, marvelous joy is good for the soul. Marvelous joy is also good for the body. See, our body is such a wonderful creation. It tells us so much. In fact, it tells a lot about who we are. Lets you know where your limits are. For instance, I cannot possibly be a linebacker for the Vancouver Canucks. I mean, the BC Lions. You see, I told you I can't be a linebacker, didn't I? Maybe for the Rough Riders, but who knows? But I know I never will. I knew I never will. Why do I know this? Because I just don't want to be. Well, I'm not built for it. You see, I know there's no possible way I can get my foot into a size 5 shoe. I've tried because they've been in the bargain bin. I know I can't. My feet are too large. My body's not shaped. It's not framed that way. But I also know that my body needs rest. I need to be refreshed. I can only handle so much. The same is for you. Our body is made to rest. That's how we're made. Some of us rest a little too much. But the second portion of this verse makes sense to me. It says a crushed spirit dries up the bones. So you know what Satan's going to be doing. He's going to be crushing our spirit time and time and time again. He's going to be trying so desperately to discourage you. You see, before you start thinking, though, that all of our flus and all of our colds are of the devil, don't think that way. Because I want to assure you that the concentration of this verse is on the spirit. A crushed spirit does nothing but cause problems. Holding on to hurt, vengefulness, disharmony, dissension, it gets us nowhere! Do you know what bitterness can do to a person? Do you know what happens when you discourage a child? Do you understand what happens when we tear someone down, list all their faults, almost verbally attack them? It's crushing. It's like taking a large pounding hammer and slamming it against the body. Now, I know we would never want to inflict anything like that on anyone. Might think we'd like to, but so many times we crush people spiritually and we crush people emotionally, and it affects not just them, it affects us. You see, often we do this pounding, this smashing, because we ourselves have a crushed spirit, and so we want to crush others. I better, as I said, define this as discouragement. Discouragement is the greatest tool that I know of that Satan uses. Because it's one emotion that not just tears down someone else, it destroys a piece of the giver. And that's why the Bible calls us to encourage one another. Pray for one another. Build up one another. Why would God command us to do such things if it wasn't good for us to do them? Life would be much more enjoyable to live if we just enjoyed one another more. Bitter heart, a hurting heart, creates such a sour look about us. Often we tend to sense that joy depends so much on what happens around us. You see, that we think, oh, I'm being affected by this. You don't understand what I'm going through. You know, and then we get that look. Oh, and people Who wants to be around someone like? I've seen this. People walking down the street. Other people ducking in to the entranceways of stores. I hope they don't see me. I hope they don't. I know because I've done it. Wait till they go by, But our circumstances have nothing to do with our joy. Joy doesn't mean that your circumstances are going to change. It doesn't mean that, things are going to start going my way for a change. Now that I have the joy of the Lord as my strength, joy means you live above your circumstances, not in your circumstances. You live above them. Let me explain this. People who live above their circumstances, not in them, usually possess a well-developed sense of humor. They do. Because in the final analysis, they know that what's going to get them through life is enjoying it. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 4 says, there is a time to laugh. There's a season to everything. Michael Pritchard understood this. He said it well when he penned these words. You don't stop laughing because you grow old. You grow old because you stop laughing. That's true. I don't know how many of you are involved in the hockey playoffs this year. How many of you? Did you watch the games? Okay, a few of you did. All right, I know many of you were for the Mentos, right? Yeah. But there's also other games going on. Calgary was playing the Mighty Ducks. That's right. And my dad was watching the game, and the game was quite intense to the point that he said, in the living room where he watches the game, he said, Calgary is getting overrun with the Mighty Ducks. My mother, she's not at all a hockey fan, she sat leafing through the paper and she added her response saying, well, why don't they just shoot them then? Well, you know, my mom thought that Calgary is being overrun by Mighty Ducks, and so. But she phones me, and this is what my mom does. She phones and she says, are you, I said, what? Are you watching the hockey games? So I'm kind of following, and Nathan's watching, and I'm kind of here, guess what I did? She could hardly wait to tell me. She can always hard to wait to tell me about something catastrophe in her life. She does that. But I think it's sad when we can no longer laugh our way through life. Because that kind of attitude is catchy. Because it sets the tone of our joy. Our Lord has to say, crushed spirit dries up the bones. But are we ready to listen? Are we ready to live like we've never lived before? Think of Christ. We've just walked through the greatest event, the pinnacle of our faith, the resurrection of our Lord. Christ, our Lord, overcame death. Today, more than ever, there are so many Christians living defeated lives because they don't live like overcomers. Scripture talks about the Christian being an overcomer. Luke 10:19 says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Often we wonder as things crowd around us whether we're going to make it or not. And we begin to wonder what we can do to change life. It's like this family circus cartoon, one of my favorites. See, mom's got the dishes and crowding around, all this stuff. You used to work before you were married, didn't you, mommy? That might be you today. You might be feeling so overwhelmed with life itself that you wonder how you're going to make it through. At times we think it's getting the better of us. Why do we choose to live without joy? Why do we choose to let hurt, bitterness, revenge become our focus? Let me tell you great news this morning. Everyone in this room can overcome anything through Christ. You can overcome hurt. You can overcome disaster. You can overcome pain. You can overcome financial problems. You can overcome the pressure to conform. You can overcome through Christ. We're called overcomers. Say it with me today. Through Christ, I can overcome anything. Through Christ, I can overcome anything. Now, do you believe that? We have every reason to be excited about what God is doing in our lives. Amen? We're allowed to come to church. We're allowed to worship God. Some countries, people die to come and worship together. This is where we gather our joy together. We come. The world does well at marketing joy. It's packaged little self-help concoctions, helps us make us feel better, help our bones feel strong, take away that aching feeling. But God has packaged something far better. Something that you can sit in quiet rest and find peace, find contentment, find joy, no matter what it is you're walking through today. It's here. But here's the bottom line to marvelous joy. Joy is not about you. It's about Christ within you. Joy is not about your demands. It's about God's commands. That's joy. Take time. Take quality time to spend with the giver of joy. The world cannot give you that unexplainable joy that you need. Nothing can except God himself. You cannot find joy, true joy, in anything or anyone but God. And when you feel frustrated, go to him. When you feel angry, talk to him. When you feel hurt, tell him about it. When you feel discouraged, be encouraged by him. Because God desires for your joy to be full. But that only occurs by knowing him. That can only occur by spending time with him. That can only transpire by acknowledgement that we need him. Isn't it wonderful to know that marvelous joy is possible for you today? Isn't that a comfort? Now that's a reason for marvelous joy. Let's pray. I want you to take a moment. I just want to say, first of all, that you're welcome to use the prayer room this morning. It's available for you. But I want you to think about your life. See, this is Mother's Day. It's a day for women to receive appreciation for all the endless loving things they do for their families. It's a day to thank our mothers and mother figures for all of their loving efforts throughout our lives. Mother's Day is a day for mothers themselves to be thankful. Thankful that God blessed them with children, and we all need to be thankful for the Bible because it teaches us how to be godly. See, we can teach others to be thankful to God for his mothering, despite all of our falls. What marvelous joy there is in this day. Maybe you feel like you need to go to the prayer room right now. That's fine. You can make your way there, or you can go out to the service and just sit there quietly before God. But it's available to you to sit in quiet solitude before God and talk to him. I'm sure if you grab somebody to come in and pray with you, they'd be more than happy to come in and pray with you. Maybe you need to just sit before him and weep and say, I haven't had that joy for a long time. I've been missing it. But come to him. Ask him for that joy once again in your heart. Maybe for you, you know that joy and you're going, thank you, God, for the joy that I have. Thank you that you're the giver of all joy in my life. Talk to him. Lord, our thoughts and our actions are yours. As we carry out those daily things, whether big or small, those tasks, guard our hearts so that we can handle struggles with love, compassion, and joy in our heart. Teach us, Lord, through your loving words, how we can become more like you. For those here, God, who are moms, may they feel special, may they feel honored. May they know that they can come to you for that rest that they need. Equip them, Lord, to be godly mothers. For all those parents here today, Lord, help them as they raise children to glorify you. And for all of us here, Lord, we just want to know that you are God, and we know you are. We thank you. We thank you for the marvelous joy that is ours. And we pray, Lord, that in whatever we say, whatever we do, that you would be glorified forever and ever. Amen.